I was born and raised in Big Stone Gap.
Morning, beautiful.
I don't know why you honking the horn. I'm standing out here black as night. I know you can see me.
Before I knew it, it was 1978 and I turned 40. I was the old maid.
Well, at this point, you just got to take whatever you can get.
Best-selling author Adriana Trigiani returned home to film her movie Big Stone Gap, based on her book by the same title.
I think the thing that brings me the most joy about it is to see the kids I went to high school with acting alongside movie stars. You know, to see Whoopi Goldberg, who has won every major award in the world, to act alongside Ricky Wiles, the bachelor at the Pepsi-Cola plant in Norton, Virginia. I mean, come on, when is that going to happen in the world?
Find the little footprints in the snow. I'm Sarah McConnell, and today on With Good Reason, coming home to Big Stone Gap. But first, just a few miles from Trigiani's childhood home is a small town called Appalachia. Like much of the region, it struggled in recent years, and the Appalachian Prosperity Project is looking for ways to revitalize the old coal town. Joining their efforts are two students, Tessa McCoy Hall of the University of Virginia College at Wise and University of Virginia doctoral student Meredith McCool. The two of them spent a summer recording the rich stories of Appalachia's locals. Meredith and Tessa, do people get confused about the difference between the town Appalachia and the mountains Appalachia, the region?
Yes. Actually, I've told people here in Virginia, I'm doing work in Appalachia this summer, and they don't know that it's a town.
Do you experience that too, Tessa?
Yeah. Even around here, Appalachia is just 20 minutes down the road, and I knew that there was a town called Appalachia, but I never gave it much thought as far as why it was named Appalachia and there were mountains named Appalachia as well.
That's funny because the two of you did an interview together with a man this summer for your project who lives in the town who actually describes how the town got its name. Can we play that clip?
Yes, please. That was John Clark, who was full of jokes, and it was hard a lot of the time to tell whether he was telling a joke or telling an actual story.
Appalachia. My, you know how I got his name, though. This guy had a big old buggy, and he had a whole lot of apples in it. And these guys' kids kept messing with him. And he said, if y'all don't stop that, I'm going to throw an apple at you. They said that's how I got his name, Appalachia. I said, I don't believe that for one minute. You know?
Was it hard for you to get your interview subjects to open up and trust you as you ask them about their lives there?
When I first started this work, I thought, well, I'm from the mountains of Virginia. I get this place, and found out very quickly that I was not seen that way by the people in Appalachia. Now, that in no way means that they weren't welcoming or kind, but I couldn't have done this work without Tessa because of that connection that she had to this place and the immediate kind of familial feel that she provided to people.
I just grew up 45 minutes down the road on a mountain called Brushy Ridge. And so those people from Appalachia did not differ very much from the people that I grew up with up on the mountain. And so it was like just going home and talking to people that I've known my whole life.
What else was familiar to you, Tessa? Having had grandparents who were in the coal industry, what else just felt natural to you about the town of Appalachia?
Well, the way we speak, for one. I think that any time you can speak with someone who talks the way you do, it puts you at ease in a certain way. Instinctively, you trust that person more because they speak the same way as you do.
That's so true, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Accents are key. It's how we know who our own people are.
It's true.
Did you hear a lot of nostalgia from the residents that you all interviewed about the good old days?
There was a lot of nostalgia, but mingled with the nostalgia was almost feelings of despair that their town was no longer in the shape that it used to be, or the town from their childhood.
There's a mix of people who want the town to be able to move forward and have visions for how that might happen, particularly through the idea of heritage tourism. But a lot of them really want however the town is revitalized to go back to looking the way it did.
I understand you found many of these storytellers had a real knack for humor, too.
Dr. Fleener was particularly entertaining. He established, and I could be wrong about this, the Lonesome Pine Regional Hospital there. He grew up there. His mother was known for getting up every day and sweeping the streets clean.
You build a town like Appalachia one brick at a time. You take great care and put that brick in place and do it carefully and artfully and thoughtfully. My mother was lashed at kindly. People loved her, but she was crippled, would get out in the middle of the public street and sweep it every day of her life.
So another fellow that we talked to was Johnny Cubine, and he talked about how everyone came to town on Payday Saturday and what it was like to be in the town of Appalachia on a Saturday night. Lots of people talked about how people double parked, and if you got double parked in, you just had to wait for somebody to move. And it was crazy, and it was a boom town at the time, and it was the place to be.
There was all kinds of grocery stores, furniture stores. There was three hardware stores. There was three car dealerships here. All the coal miners came to town on Payday Saturday. There would be guys out on the street playing music. It was a great place to grow up. It was a lot of good people here, a lot of, you know, all different nationalities. There was Italians, there was Hungarians, Lebanese, just everything.
That's so interesting. He says there were Hungarians and Lebanese workers in the town at that time or who worked nearby. That's amazing diversity for such a tiny mountain community.
The coal industry really drew a lot of people to the area, especially in the early 1900s. There were hopes by the bigwigs from outside that this area was going to become the Pittsburgh of the South. And so that drew a lot of people to the area. That diversity, while it looks different than what we think of as diversity in other parts of the state, is really part of the rich heritage of this area.
Do you have any other favorite stories from the people you interviewed?
Sam Green, his family has owned the funeral parlor there in Appalachia, and they've really been an institution there. And he told us a story of whenever he was a young man digging a grave that a tornado came through, and that in order to escape from the tornado, he had to dive down into the grave. We don't get tornadoes or hurricanes around here. So it's kind of a little gem of a story in so many ways. But another story, it might have been Jack Wilder or who was telling us about on Saturday nights, he and his family would sit on the hillside, and the local bar joints were only allotted so much beer. And he said that whenever the beer ran out, that you would know because there would just come this mass amount of men out of one bar joint, and they would go into the other until that one ran out, and it just kept rolling until all the bar joints were out of beer for that night.
That's right.
So what was the point of gathering all these? Somebody is going to take the oral histories that you gathered with about 20 residents of Appalachia and turn it into a play that may become a tourist-tra?
So our supervisor at the Appalachian Prosperity Project has this vision of supporting tourism in the town of Appalachia through a community play. There are things in the area. Big Stone Gap just had the big movie come out, and it's only 2 miles away from Appalachia. Another thing is the Rails to Trails. And so if people come walk on the trail, they're going to need something else to do maybe in the evening. They might be able to go see this play. We're really hoping to be able to open it next summer.
I understand they're not all old-timers in Appalachia. In fact, the vice mayor there is a 21-year-old who really wants to do some great things.
Yes, it was such a pleasure to get to meet him. And he was raised by his grandparents. And so he was raised by people about the age of most of the people that we interviewed who had this real nostalgia for the good old days. But one of the things that he said to me was that he grew up in some of the worst days in Appalachia, and so he can only see it getting better from here. Whereas some people we interviewed kind of longed for the good old days. He's never seen the good old days. He feels like he needs to make the good days happen in the future for Appalachia. And so he's been very strategic about taking small steps to try and make the town better.
And Meredith, I understand that you're also trying to get a change in the standards of learning called the SOLs so that there is more understanding of the circumstances of people who live in that region.
Yes, looking at the Virginia Studies SOLs, there's a very wholesale acceptance of the prosperity of Virginia. And if that is not what's experienced by the students in Southwest Virginia, and they are being told Virginia is a prosperous state, and that's not jiving with their experience, I can't even imagine how difficult it must be for a 9-year-old to say, well, here's my experience in my town, and here's what I'm being told is right.
So how will you change it? Do you think probably just slightly amending a couple of sentences?
What I'd like to do is continue my oral history work with students and have students work to collect oral histories of their town in Appalachia and then compile an oral history archive that would show here are the standards and here are the ways in which it's present or in contrast with what's happening in our part of the state.
Well, I want to thank both of you, Meredith and Tessa, for sharing this with me.
Well, thank you for having us, Sarah. We've enjoyed it.
One morning in May, I spied a young couple wandering away. One was a lady as fair as can be. The other was a soldier, and a brave lad was he.
Tessa McCoy Hall is a senior at the University of Virginia College at Wise. Meredith McCool is a doctoral student at the Curry School of Education at the University of Virginia. Coming up next, how a girl who grew up in rural Virginia became a film director, screenwriter, comedian, playwright, and best-selling author.
To see the waters gliding, hear the nightingale sing.